The next case today is United States versus Tarek Bischoff, appeal number 21-1487. Attorney DeMaso, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your argument.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Chrissy DeMaso, and I represent Tarek Bischoff. I'd like to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal.
You may.
Thank you. Mr. Bischoff's sentencing was rife with procedural and substantive errors. After he pled guilty to unanticipated enhancements applied, the district court did not make specific findings to support the application of either enhancement, and one was supported by testimony that was unreliable and internally inconsistent. As a result, Mr. Bischoff's guidelines range was nearly triple what was expected at his plea, and his sentence was double the range that was expected at his plea. Moreover, with no explanation at all, the district court imposed highly disparate sentences on Mr. Bischoff and Mr. Shaw, who, unlike Mr. Bischoff, was a felon who assembled and sold guns despite knowing his prohibited status.
Didn't Shaw plead guilty, so you can't really, you're comparing apples to oranges.
Your Honor, both pled guilty. Mr. Shaw did.
But he pled guilty, but he testified at the sentencing hearing.
Yes.
That's what I meant to say.
even as I argued in my brief, accounting for cooperation, sort of accounting for that piece of it, the disparity is greater than can be accounted for by that single difference. Apart from that difference, Mr. Bischoff is equally, if not less, culpable than Mr. Shaw, and there are no other factors that would explain the disparity. Certainly none that the district court put on the record. They did both plead guilty. Mr. Shaw had a plea agreement. Mr. Bischoff pled open. But even if you look at the numbers at that time, Mr. Bischoff's range that the government expected at the time of plea was lower than Mr. Shaw's range as expected in the plea agreement.
But cooperation is a necessary evil. It's important in criminal cases. So, and again, as a former trial judge, sometimes there's a lot of disparity. But without the cooperation, this case could have gone to trial, or you know, maybe sentencing would have been otherwise. The government has an incentive to use cooperators, and that's sanctioned by the law.
Yeah, I understand and accept that. And here, the case would not have gone to trial. Mr. Bischoff had already pled. The cooperation was purely about the sentencing enhancement that came up in the PSR. Kind of at the time the two individuals pled, there was no expectation of anyone cooperating. It was sort of, we've both pled and that will move forward. Then the PSR comes out and introduces these unexpected enhancements, and the government believes that Mr. Shaw has testimony that would support one against Mr. Bischoff. Sort of if you play with the numbers, right, the government was giving Mr. Shaw 30% off for cooperation. So if, for example, you know, Mr. Shaw's guidelines range as calculated by the PSR would have been 78 to 97 months, if you give him 30% off that, you're in the ballpark of 51 months rather than the 21 months that he got. The decrease to the 21 months does not just come from cooperation. It comes from the differential application of enhancements to the two individuals, and it also comes from the fact that the court looked at the guidelines as calculated in Mr. Shaw's plea agreement and did not make the same jump down to the guidelines that Mr. Bischoff expected at the time that he pled.
Wait, Mr. Martin, we usually first ask, do we have apples and apples when we do this sort of comparator analysis? And when we say we don't, in almost all the cases I'm familiar with, that ends the inquiry. It sounds to me like you're doing an apples and oranges, but then you want to say that the difference in sentences, while the different fruits could account for different sentences, shouldn't be so much. Do you have any precedent where we've done that type of comparator analysis?
I don't have a specific case where, I think what's clear on the record here is, you know, the amount of benefit that Mr. Shaw is getting from cooperation is clear on the record. Everyone's stating we're getting 30%. So you can actually account for that, and then you can still look at the two individuals apart from that.
Right, but instead of saying, here are two like individuals, and I've got a 30% difference, which I can't explain, we're saying, who are two different individuals, there's a 30% differential. I know that the government is saying that is explained by cooperation. What do I then look at to say that the cooperation isn't worth 30%?
I would frame it slightly differently. I would frame it as You look at the two individuals, you look at their conduct, you look at what happened in the case, you look at what their past records are, you sort of do the initial guidelines calculation, you look at them. And I would say that when you look at that, you have actually apples to oranges in the sense that I think Mr. Bischoff was less culpable than Mr. Shaw in many ways. And then once you look at that, then you look at the extent of disparity that occurred. And here, the disparity was huge. It was far beyond anything that could be explained by cooperation. And you
the proposition is 30% is exactly the right amount for cooperation. Tell me what case says that's wrong.
He can get the 30% for cooperation, but he gets much more off than that. Even if you do it off of what the judge calculated,
70% is fine for cooperation. What's wrong with that? You need a comparator of other cases saying that cooperation is worth far less, and yet it's somewhat individualized per case as to how valuable the cooperation is.
I mean, here on this record, however, we know exactly how much the government valued this cooperation. Like that information is in there, and it's clear. And the disparity is much greater than that. And you know, even this piece about the cooperation of the 30%, the judge did not even really clearly explain that. We can sort of intuit and assume because the judge accepted the number proffered by the government, which the government was saying is 30% off of our plea agreement number, that the judge...
Well, counsel, I mean, we understand that the guidelines say that the judge is supposed to avoid unnecessary sentencing disparities between equally culpable people, co-defendants. You've been living with this case. What we're struggling with is how do you measure it? How do you say 30% is too much?
I'm not quibbling with the 30% piece, right? Okay. I mean, he went far beyond the 30% for reasons that had nothing to do with cooperation, right?
In this case or in any case, how do we figure out what's too much?
I don't think this court has to figure that out. I think that it can remand to the district court to, at the very least, provide an explanation that then we could review more specifically. We don't have the benefit of that because although counsel asked for it and although the information about the disparity was on the record at the time of Mr. Bischoff's sentencing, the court did not provide an explanation.
Shaw didn't plead to a felony enhancement, either did he?
There
was no enhancement for another felony for Shaw, but there was for your guy.
At the time of the plea, no one thought either enhancement applied to either man.
But at the time of sentencing, your person was held accountable for the enhancement. Shaw was not.
At the time of sentencing, the trafficking and the another felony enhancement applied to Mr. Bischoff, and only trafficking applied to Mr.
Bischoff. So that would account for another difference.
I think that is the way that the court treated the two men incorrectly differently. I think that what happened at Shaw's sentencing was error, that I think to the extent both enhancements applied to Mr. Bischoff, I believe that they also equally applied to Mr. Shaw. You have Mr. Shaw's for trafficking, you have his belief that Mr. Bischoff, his incorrect belief that Mr. Bischoff was selling to a drug seller, to his drug supplier, and then you also have the drug for guns trade. So to the extent that the drug for guns trade applies as the another felony enhancement to Mr. Bischoff, it also applies to Mr. Shaw.
How could we ever hold that a district court's failure to apply an enhancement that the government is not seeking is error?
Well, the PSR did seek both enhancements against...
But the government didn't seek it against Shaw.
The government, if I remember correctly, against Mr. Shaw sort of said...
It would also be odd to say that because the court erred in not giving an enhancement to Shaw, the remedy is your guy doesn't get the enhancement, even if the enhancement is correct. That just doesn't make sense.
It's, if I may finish, my time is also fast.
Yes.
It's that that difference, to the extent there is a difference based on the application not applying to Mr. Shaw, that difference cannot explain this disparity. It would not be a sufficient reason for the district court to rely on to explain why the two sentences were different, that an error was made at one sentencing and the same error was not made at the other.
Counsel, let me ask you, going back to Shaw, he cooperated, and he has a plea agreement. Bischoff did not cooperate, he did not have the plea agreement. And in the plea agreement, the parties stipulate to whatever guidelines, certain enhancements are not recommended, but at the time of sentencing, that's where the government and Shaw go to court and said, this is what we've agreed, and he's getting that plus the cooperation. That did not happen in the case of Bishop. If had he had a plea agreement, he probably would have perhaps done better.
I understand that that one had a plea agreement, one had another. The plea agreement was not binding on the court. It was not a C plea. You know, the government felt bound to recommend what it felt bound to recommend based on the plea agreement, but the court did not have to follow, just as it did not with Mr. Bischoff, it did not have to follow that with Mr. Shaw. The plea agreement did not specifically reference these enhancements, neither did the court at the government at the time of the plea with Mr. Bischoff. So the fact that one had a plea agreement and one pled open around the same time during the case does not also justify this disparity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, Attorney Eisenstadt, if you could come forward and introduce yourself on the record to begin.
May it please the court, Karen Eisenstadt for the government.
Good morning.
So I think what this case comes down to is what Judge Chiara referenced, which is that we don't have apples to apples here to begin with, and thus the disparity claim falls apart at the outset. These two defendants, Mr. Shaw and Mr. Bischoff, were not similarly situated for numerous reasons. There's no overlap in the charged conduct that they were convicted of. They were convicted of different offenses. And the defense has made a suggestion that Mr. Shaw was either more culpable or equally culpable to Mr. Bischoff, but the government doesn't take that view of the facts, and I don't think the record supports it. The record shows that the idea of trafficking guns here came from Mr. Bischoff, this defendant, not from Mr. Shaw. If you look at Mr. Shaw's testimony and Mr. Bischoff's sentencing hearing, he explains how their relationship came about. Mr. Shaw's a hobbyist. He built one gun for himself for personal use. That was improper for him to do because he was a prohibited person, but there was no suggestion of any trafficking of guns going on before Mr. Bischoff entered the picture. Then Mr. Bischoff finds out that Mr. Shaw has the capability to make guns.
Well, didn't Shaw offer Bischoff a gun? Isn't that how it got started?
As I understand it, Mr. Bischoff wanted to buy that gun that Mr. Shaw had made for personal use from him and did so.
But how did he find out about it in the first place?
Find out about the gun?
Yes.
I believe they had a mutual friend, and Mr. Bischoff came off over to Mr. Shaw's house, and Mr. Shaw was showing off these guns. He's a gun enthusiast and hobbyist and said, look, I made a gun. And then Mr. Bischoff, after that, was requesting that Mr. Shaw make guns for Mr. Bischoff to sell on the street. Mr. Bischoff was telling Shaw what models and calibers of guns he wanted to sell. Shaw would then order the parts and assemble them. And he did this because Mr. Bischoff was supplying him with fentanyl and with heroin, and Mr. Shaw is a drug addict. There's no indication in the record that Shaw ever sold a gun to anyone before Mr. Bischoff, or that he ever transferred any guns to anyone other than Mr. Bischoff. And of course, after the two defendants are arrested, they make very different choices that lead to them being further not similarly situated. So Mr. Shaw chose to enter into a negotiated plea agreement that set certain guidelines that the parties agreed would apply. And then he also chose to enter a cooperation agreement with the government and to cooperate. And Mr. Bischoff, as is his right, elected not to do either of those things. So Shaw unquestionably got the benefit of those agreements that he entered into, and arguably some lucky breaks, I think, also based on those agreements, but he had set himself up to receive those lucky breaks, and Mr. Bischoff did not. And as the two defendants are not similarly situated, an unwarranted disparity claim is not viable in this case.
Suppose we thought it was, what would we do?
Pardon, I didn't hear that.
I suppose we did think it was unwarranted. What would our remedy be?
I think if there is an unwarranted disparity and you find that Mr. Bischoff's sentence is substantively unreasonable for that basis, then it would need to be remanded to the court to resentence Mr. Bischoff. I don't think there's any basis to resentence Mr. Shaw. His sentence is not on appeal, so that would be a finding that Mr. Bischoff's sentence, which was below guidelines, is substantively unreasonable, and then to vacate it and remand for him to be resentenced.
Okay. Well, what you're saying, suggesting here is that the disparity here, rather than unwarranted, is warranted, right? And you added, when we heard from sister counsel, one had a plea agreement, the other did not, there was cooperation, but you added a third factor which differentiates them, and that's, they pled guilty to different offenses. So that would warrant that disparity, correct?
That's correct. That's the government's position, that certainly they did receive quite different sentences, but Mr. Bischoff has not pointed to a single issue in which they were similarly or identically situated, which is the standard this court has stated for disparity claims, where the court then treated them differently. In every case, as to the enhancements, one of which Mr. Bischoff received but Mr. Shaw did not, and then as to the actual sentence given, he hasn't pointed to any way in which they are actually similarly situated. Obviously, having a negotiated plea agreement puts you in a different position, as well as, of course, a cooperation discount than a defendant who has chosen to do neither of those things. If the court has no further questions, the government will rest on its brief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, would Attorney DeMaso please reintroduce herself on the record to begin?
Christy DeMaso for Mr. Bischoff. I would just like to touch briefly on what counsel said. The two men did have different charges, but they committed the same conduct. And to say that Mr. Shaw was substantially less culpable than Mr. Bischoff is to ignore the facts of this case. Both men were lifelong drug addicts. And Mr. Bischoff, there's no evidence that he ever sold guns before he met Mr. Shaw. He doesn't have guns. He doesn't have access to them. Mr. Shaw is a felon. He knows he can't have them. He's making them at home, and he's making them willingly. They both participated in the same conduct, and they participated in it together. There was an unwarranted disparity here, and that merits a remand. If there's no further questions, I'll rest on my briefs for all of the issues, including the ones we're going to discuss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes argument in this case. Attorney DeMaso.